We're going to read this morning from the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, Philippians, and chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and reading from verse 4. And this is part of his final message to that church. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. May God bless his word to us. At work recently, we had a team building day, and one of the things that my company does to help work out how you are as a team, what sort of individuals you are, what makes a good team, they run this course called Insights Discovery. And what they send out to everybody before the course is a questionnaire, 24 questions, that's all. And each of these questions have statements, and you have to mark down, give them an idea of which statements you think best fit you and which statements least fit you. And there's something's in between. And you fill out this questionnaire and send it off. And then as part of the course, they send you back. And it's incredible. They send you back this 25-page book about you. And what's amazing to me is that in 24 questions, it's so accurate. When I looked at all the statements, I had to work out, they asked you to sort of count them up and give it a figure. And I reckon the accuracy was between 90 and 95% accurate. A few statements that I wasn't completely convinced about. And often with those, I'll go to Anne and ask her. Now, she doesn't need this book to tell me what I'm like because she's got many, many, many years of experience. And amazingly, when I say, is that really me? She says, yep, that's you. Oh. So just to keep things really simple, they give you sort of colour. And the idea is that pretty well all of us have traits that fit into these four colours. There's blue, which is cool blue. So that's someone who is analytical, likes to know how things work, needs a logical approach to things generally. And then there's earth green. So this is somebody who is caring and patient sort of relaxed generally. And then there's fiery red. So this is somebody who's determined and purposeful and forceful and strong-willed. And then finally, there's sunshine yellow. And that's someone who is sociable, dynamic, and demonstrative. And most people, they find, and certainly this was the case for our team, most people will find that two of these elements are quite strong within them. And then the other two will be weaker. Occasionally you find somebody who's got one really strong element, and occasionally someone who's got three strong elements, but rarely. And that's the order. And maybe for those who know me, you wouldn't be surprised at this. So I'm predominantly blue, analytical, scientific. I love science, so maybe there's no great surprise there. And green, which is about being relaxed and patient. Reasonably strong in red, but not, and unfortunately really, really weak on the sunshine yellow, which is always really disappoints me. But that's what it is. I cannot challenge it because that really is where I am. I'm sure that many of you, if you looked at these, you'd probably work out, probably without even a questionnaire, what sort of traits fit you. So what's all that got to do with? Well, one of the big statements in this that we read is about anxiety. We read, don't be anxious. And the problem with my sort of blueness, if you like, is that I do tend to keep things bottled up. And I'm actually quite an anxious person. You know, I may not seem like that, but that's what goes on underneath. A bit like, you know, when you see a duck seems to be floating serenely up the river, but underneath its feet are going like the clappers, you know, but you can't see that. It just seems to be bobbing along. And I think that's probably fits me. And so although I might feel relaxed and unconcerned and seem that way, that's not what I'm necessarily like. And the thing with anxiety, and I'm sure we all know this, is that anxiety and care, and it creates a huge stresses and strains. And levels of stress is one of the biggest impacts on society within work, within our home, within our schools, within our young people, even in young children have issues of anxiety and stress. And the fact is that Christians are not immune from it. We also suffer from stress. And Christian leaders are not immune from it. And often you'll find someone, you know, with great gifts. And our missionaries are very much not immune from it. And many of them suffer a lot from stresses. And so it is a serious issue. Anxiety. And the question is, how do we respond to it? And it's a very common theme, isn't it? I'm sure you all know that the commonest command, if you like, or statement from Jesus to people he met, including his friends and disciples, was, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. And he had to say it again and again and again to them, which suggests that it was a real issue. And I'm sure you know this. This is a part of the passage that we've been looking at, really, ever since we started the study in prayer, as well as the Lord's Prayer. Later on, Jesus said this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown tomorrow in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So worry. That passage basically says, worry and anxiety achieve nothing. It achieves nothing. I can spend my whole day, my whole week worrying about something, and I cannot add a single hour to my life. So anxiety achieves nothing. And it's not just a case of saying, okay, end of story, snap out of it. You know it doesn't achieve anything, so don't do it. It's not, we think, well, so what's the answer to this? What can we find? What is the antidote to anxiety? Well, Paul wrote to the Philippians, and we read that passage. And I suggest there that he's got three antidotes to anxiety. Isn't it amazing? No matter how long the passage is or how short it is, there's always 3 points. Although I have sat under the ministry of preachers who would never, ever have less than 7 or 8 points. But that's always so hard to keep up with. So three antidotes to anxiety. And the first one is rejoice in the Lord. And in case you did get it, Paul says, and again I say to you, rejoice. This is the first antidote to worry. And this command to rejoice is repeated in many of Paul's letters. Because as God fills our horizon, other things recede, don't they? And our problems, which seemed like mountains, we begin to realize are not quite so big after all. A few months ago, I went to a conference in London, and I was in the Underground, and it was early morning. It was a gorgeous day, and the sun was streaming in to one side, and I was sitting, and as in the Underground, people are there sitting opposite you, and I could not see them at all. I could see their silhouettes, but I couldn't see them. If you'd come up to me later on and said, could you describe the person sitting opposite you, I couldn't do it, because the sun was so strong in my face, I couldn't make it out. So if we rejoice in God, and we concentrate on him, and we see his glory, then the other things become just like silhouettes, don't they? They become less of an issue for us. And as God becomes more important, our problems become less important. As we enjoy God's presence, so our anxieties decrease. As we talk more about God, we will talk less about our problems. This part of the church we call the sanctuary. And although to me buildings have never been particularly important, over the years I have sat and I have really felt that as we've rejoiced together, as we've worshipped together, as we've praised God together, the things that I was worrying about for Monday morning do begin to recede. They don't disappear, but they recede and become less. And so, although we don't have to be in here to rejoice in God, we can rejoice him in everywhere. I think there's a special way that corporately, as we rejoice, our anxieties can recede. And so, that's the first antidote to anxiety. Rejoice in God. And there's absolutely nothing new in this. We've heard this again and again, haven't we, as we've been looking at this theme of prayer, that we start not with us, but with God. That when we come to the Lord's Prayer, we don't start with what we need, we start with God himself. We start with God's kingdom. So it's again about getting our priorities right. The second antidote is so obvious, and you think, how could I have missed that? And how do I miss that? But we still do. And that is, he simply says, bring those anxieties to God. Bring your prayers and your petitions to God with thanksgiving. And isn't it amazing? Have you ever found yourself worrying about something for several days? And you've talked to your friends, and you've talked to your partner, and your family, and you've talked to everybody. And after several days, you suddenly think, hang on a minute, I haven't talked to God about this. I haven't simply come to him and told him my anxieties and my needs. And again, it's so easy that we just miss something so obvious. James, in his letter, writes this, doesn't he? He says, why do you not receive? Because you haven't asked. And when you have asked, you've asked with completely the wrong motives in mind. And so the second antidote is to tell God about them. You know, there are times when I said, I have been worrying about things. And I just, at the end of the day, you know, and I'm quite a late owl often, and I'll be up quite late. And just sitting there on my own, I will tell God about them. And I'll go to bed, and amazingly, I'll just go straight to sleep. I don't toss and turn, I just go straight to sleep. And in the morning, the problems are still there. They haven't evaporated. This isn't magic. This isn't some sort of mental trick. They're still there, but I wake up refreshed. I wake up knowing I've spoken to God. And as the day comes, I find that the things that I thought would happen, the big worries I thought would happen, don't. It hasn't all gone wrong. So bring your petitions and prayers to God. And the third aspect, the third antidote, which is been very much the theme for this morning, was to be thankful. You see, it's got a condition, hasn't it? To bring your prayers and your petitions with thanksgiving. So these go hand in hand, don't they? We come and we ask, and exactly the same time, we come with thankful hearts. We come with thanksgiving. And the subject of thanksgiving permeates the scriptures. It's one of the biggest subjects that we find there. The Psalms are full of it. We read one as we started this service. In Psalm 107, the songwriter there says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And even in those dark psalms, and you've read them, when David, for instance, pours out his heart to God and everything seems to be falling apart and he's really worried about something, and yet permeated through them, suddenly he just stops and he thanks God for what's happened in the past. He thanks God because of his experiences. And even in those darkest moments, there's that element of thanksgiving from David. He just seems to burst into thanks and rejoices in God. In Thessalonians chapter 5, the same theme: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And in Colossians, same theme: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. Is that what we were doing this morning? Singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So why is thankfulness so important? Is this about what we teach our children? Just about remembering to say thank you? Remembering to be grateful? Well, maybe there is that element of it, but I think there's a lot more to it than that. Because, you see, as I thank God, I immediately start remembering the past. I remember his faithfulness. I know that he's watched over me in the past. And it reminds me that my experience is that God is a good God. I hadn't really thought about this, but I realised that it's been pretty well exactly 50 years since I became a Christian. I became a Christian at the end of my junior school, just before I went into secondary school. So, half a century of trusting God, and there have been many times when I haven't been trusting him, but in 50 years, when I look back, I have to think. There have been occasions when things have fallen apart for me. There have been occasions when things went quite badly wrong. There have been occasions when I've been disappointed. When what I wanted to happen didn't happen. There have been very, very brief occasions when I really did wonder what Christianity was about. But again and again and again and again, my experience is that God has answered my prayers. My experience has been that God loves me and cares for me and cares for those that I love and cares for those for my family as well. Yes, there are times when we've been anxious about something, there are times when perhaps the worst does happen. It would be dishonest to suggest that that isn't the case, because we probably have got experiences of that. But our experience over all those years is that God answers prayer and that he is a good God. So when I come to him in thankfulness, I'm remembering that he is a faithful God. And as I remember his faithfulness to me in the past, again, my anxieties recede. And I realize that anxiety is a waste of time. So that song that says, count your blessings, we don't sing it very often, count your blessings, count your many blessings. You know, it's a powerful song. I don't do it, and I know that some people do it, and I think actually it's something I ought to do, but I think people do keep diaries. They write down, they write their prayers down, and they write answers to prayers. I think if I had done that, if I had a 50-year-old diary, I would see again and again and again that God is a faithful God, that he has answered my prayers. So, rejoicing in the Lord, bringing my requests to him, and being thankful won't suddenly make my anxieties disappear, but they will help me get a sense of perspective. They will help me manage my fears. And it's all about turning away from those anxieties and those needs and turning to a great God in rejoicing and in thankfulness. And as I do that, I will find that the last subject, that God's peace, which transcends everything I can understand, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. That as I thank God, his peace comes into my life. Come along this evening. Paul's going to be opening up a tremendous passage, which is full of thanksgiving in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. As David rejoices before God, they brought the ark up to Jerusalem after it had been taken away from them, and after there had been so many problems and issues. And as they brought the ark up, David dances before God. He's full of joy and thanksgiving. He makes an idiot of himself, frankly. But he doesn't mind because he is so thankful. And then he shares that thanksgiving with the people. And Paul will be looking at that this afternoon, this evening. And again, David reminds the people of God's faithfulness. So take this opportunity to pray with someone, perhaps. Perhaps you have got something that you've been anxious about, something that's really impacting your life. Each time that we meet together, there are people here who are willing and free to pray with you. So why don't you take the opportunity to pray with them this morning? Maybe it's just something you'd like to thank God for. It doesn't have to be about our needs. It can be that, you know, I've God's answered my prayer, and it's good to share those with somebody as well. Shall we pray? Lord, we so often do face anxieties in our lives. We face challenges. We face real issues. And Lord, our natural instincts often are to become anxious and worried about this. But we pray that we will hear your word to us this morning, and that as we face those anxieties, we will rejoice in you. Lord, we can't rejoice in our suffering. We can't rejoice in those anxieties, but we can rejoice in you. And Lord, we come to you with thankful hearts. We thank you that again and again you answer prayer. You provide everything that we need, that you are a faithful God. And Lord, in the face of that, our anxieties can recede into the background. Lord, teach us to be a trusting people. Teach us as individuals to trust you for the future, even when things are looking dark and difficult. Lord, we trust in you. Amen.